I do have an announcement to make today. As you will not be on the system today to hear the sermon that's being broadcast, I'll make this announcement today for those that are present today. The 2014 Feast of Tabernacles registration website will be available starting Monday, so that's good news. An email will be sent out on Sunday evening to baptized members with the information necessary for you to register. For some members, this email may show up in your spam or junk folder, so make sure and check that folder as well for the email. If you have not received an email by Monday evening and are planning on observing the Feast of Tabernacles, notify your elder. If you will not be attending an organized feast site this year, there is an option on the feast registration website where you can confirm that you will not be attending. It is important that all members, regardless if you are planning on attending an organized site or not, register so that we can better plan meeting, hall space, and future planning. So that's good news, exciting news, if we get there. So who knows when we look on the world scene, it's a powder keg. So brethren, I do want to welcome everyone today on God's Sabbath day. It's an exciting time in God's plan. And in the last sermon that I gave, it was about the remnant church and how that remnant church came about. And I used a lot of the truths that were placed on the website, some of those 57 truths, because that tells us a story about who we are and how we came about. And it tells us how it took place. And we're going to continue on in the theme of the remnant church, so this will be part two today. And we'll look at how truth was revealed even further. And we went back and looked at how Daniel was used. And we saw how Daniel was used as a prophet of God, to reveal writings to a king. And we saw how one was being used at the end of this age, a prophet of God, to reveal the writings in this book, God's book, to his church, his remnant church, at the end of an age. And we'll go back today to the book of Daniel, if you want to be turning there, to Daniel 12. And that's where we'll start today. Daniel 12 and verse 1. Daniel 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time your people will be delivered. So let's notice what's being said. Everyone that will be found written in the book, God's book. Let's drop down to verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. So we can see an event that God was telling Daniel that would take place, that these words would be shut up, even to the time of the end. It says, many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Daniel 12 and verse 9, we find, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And we know at the end of an age there would be two prophets that would come upon the scene in God's church. And we know Matthew 24 and verse 14 by heart. You don't have to turn there. We know it by heart. But God tells us in his book that the gospel of this kingdom would be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end would come. And that's where you and I find ourselves at, brethren, at the end time. At the end when a prophet would come and interpret the words of God's book to God's church, to a remnant church, to prepare a people for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth, should bring you to your knees to understand what you have been offered. And when I look around, I wonder how many just get what you have really been offered at the end of this age. And as I have said before, you do not need this book to know where we are in time. And in the last sermon, we recognized that the two witnesses are here upon this earth. So where does that put you in the space of time? And when we look on the world scene at all the weapons of mass destruction, we came to realize that we are on God's time, because there are weapons out there that can destroy every living thing upon this earth. So where does that put us in the space of time that we live in? I don't think there's ever been a weapon that's been created that has not been used. I know the U.S. in World War II used two bombs that were dropped on Japan, which that is the basis for our weapons today. And that's why I said what I did. And I think some in the military and some that developed those bombs at that time understood that the genie was out of the bottle, so to speak. And man's time upon this earth was limited at that time because of what had been unleashed. The ability to destroy every living thing upon this earth, brother. And because mass destruction can come upon this earth, where every living thing can be destroyed, that is where you and I find ourselves at the end of an age. And it's hard to focus on those things when we have plenty of food, plenty of air to breathe. We have clean water at this time. That could change in 20 minutes, in an instant. And we are awaiting our Savior to return to this earth to stop that genocide that would take place if God didn't intervene. And with this end time remnant upon the earth, the remnant church of God, knowledge would be increased mightily, because the great God of this universe and His Son is coming to restore all things to this earth. And God has a people, a remnant church, at the end of an age that He will prepare for the return of His Son to this earth. It will happen. And we are approaching Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And we need to understand who the great God of this universe is. And God has revealed that to His church, who God really is. And that there has only been one true God that has eternally existed. And we call His name Yahweh. Mr. Arm used to call Him the eternal one who has always existed. And we've come to understand who Jesus Christ really is, that He was born to the Virgin Mary. And we've come to understand Jesus Christ's role upon this earth and why He came. God has been bringing us to a point in time in a steady, organized, in a very spiritual manner. And I hope you recognize that. To give understanding. And there have been many sermons given about how God is bringing everything together at the end of an age. And you and I at the end of an age understand that God, the one who has always existed, has never revealed Himself fully to mankind. God has only revealed Himself to a few through time. And that was on a very limited basis. But we are looking at a time when God is going to reveal Himself to everyone. And that Jesus Christ will come in great power and glory to this earth to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. And God will reveal Himself to everyone from that time forward. And there will be a massive education that will take place upon this earth to all of mankind when this takes place. And then no one can deny who the great God of this universe is and who Jesus Christ really is when He is sent back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. in an awesome display of power and might. Satan has been allowed to rule this earth for 6,000 years. But we're on the brink of time when his days are numbered. And we saw in that last sermon what his fate was. And we know that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, must be very excited to put this being in chains. In chains for 1,000 years. And I know that has to be an exciting time for God to know that this is just in our near future when it will take place. And then a massive education can begin to take place upon this earth. And it's hard for us to grasp what is about to take place upon this earth. But God is educating his people at the end of an age so that it can be written down for all in the future of what took place at the end of an age. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. And it will be written for all to learn from, brethren. And when we go back and look how this remnant church was formed, at the end of an age, they have come and they have gone, brethren. But this will be used mightily in the future of what man can do, even with God's Spirit, when he has been offered the most awesome blessing of any that have ever lived upon this earth. And it will be written for all in the future. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 6. And we will begin to go through some scriptures that gave understanding to this remnant church at the end of an age. God is bringing this remnant church to a oneness of spirit and a oneness of mind. And God is preparing us for what we are getting ready to go through at the end of an age. These words were sealed up until the time of the end. But like I said, God had an end time prophet that will explain what is taking place to this remnant church, those at the end of an age. And this was all by design. It's not an accident that this is the way things are taking place. It's all by design. And there are things coming upon this earth that are going to take place that will stagger our minds. And we are going to be a part of some of this. And we're going to be involved in a lot of this as it takes place. And just like those of the past around this time of year, this Passover season that we are going into, when God began to bring the people out of Egypt, so to speak, and that is exactly what he is doing at the end of an age, those that will be there. And we always go back and look at what God did in the past. And it always gives us understanding of where we are going in the future. Let's start in Exodus 6 and verse 1. Exodus 6 and verse 1. Then the Eternal, which is Yahweh. And when you look at your Bible, it is usually capital letters. And that is usually how you can identify it. And it's capital letters. Some say it's Lord, some it's Jehovah. It's according to your Bible. But the word is Yahweh. Then the Eternal, as Mr. Armstrong used to say. That's what he used to use. But the word is Yahweh. The self-existent ones, that's what it means, the self-existent one. The eternal is also what it means. And Mr. Armstrong always used the word that, the eternal. And those of us who came through worldwide, that is what we would always hear him express about God. He would use this word, the eternal. And he hardly ever used the word Yahweh. But like I said, that's exactly what this word means. The eternal one. The self-existent one. And he said to Moses, "Now shall you see what I do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. So it's talking about the Israelites. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name Yahweh was I not known to them. So when we connect the name Yahweh with God, it makes a very specific name, brethren. And God's making it very clear that he never revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Yahweh God, as a name. Not just a title of his being or a description of his being, but as a name, Yahweh. Verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, where they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have made my covenant, better said, remembered his covenant. That's a better way of saying it. Going all the way back to Abraham. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, the Eternal One. And I will bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians, or the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. In verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And you will know that I am Yahweh, your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am Yahweh, the Eternal. So God Almighty, El Shaddai, who revealed himself to Moses as the Eternal, your God, Yahweh, your God, was very direct in what he had to say to Moses. Let's notice what he told Moses in chapter 3. God's word says what it means, but we cannot know what it means. What it says in spirit and in truth, until God gives it for us to see. And like I said, he sent one at the end of an age to have the ability through God's Spirit to reveal his words to a remnant church at the end of an age. And there is no way for us to know certain things until God reveals it in his time. And God has had a plan down through time, as we know. And he has not revealed fully all of that plan except as we go through that plan and as it is needed. And it's a wonderful thing to know what the present truth means. And that is the way that God works. And that's what we have come to realize. Sometimes when we go back and read through some of these scriptures, and we have read through them so many times, brother, and all of a sudden, one sent by God can read these scriptures and our mind clicks. And we think, well, that's what that really means. And I've seen it over and over. And I know you have too. Exodus 3 and verse 13 we find, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? And we've been through these scriptures before. Moses said, what will I say to them? God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, Yahweh God, Lord God, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Let's notice what's being said. Let's notice the rest. This is my name forever, Yahweh God, the eternal God, and this is my memorial unto all generations. El Shaddai, God Almighty, the one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reveal more about himself to Moses, as we can see. And we can see God has revealed himself to us more fully through an end-time prophet at the end of an age. To understand that there was only one eternal God that has existed. And this book was sealed until the time of the end. Just as God told Daniel, until God would send a prophet at the end of an age to unseal these words to a remnant church and what they really mean. Those at the end of an age, through this end-time prophet, and that's how you know, brother. Without that prophet being sent, these words would still be obscure to you. Do you believe that? Now this God, the eternal existent one, is about to send his Son, Jesus Christ, as King of Kings. And God is going to give us more understanding so that we can see things more clearly. And with that comes understanding from the one that has eternally existed. And God is going to allow this remnant church to grow stronger spiritually to be prepared for the return of God's Son to this earth. And God does nothing by coincidence, brethren. It's all been a plan. And it was before time ever began, as we know. What God is doing is like the example that God used about the potter. We are the clay. And God is molding a remnant at the end of an age to make ready for the return of his Son to this earth. And as with the present truth, until God gives something, we as the Church of God cannot come to full understanding until God reveals it fully. That's how it works. Therefore, the present truth. And we know that that's how God works at the end of an age to his church. And this is just a reality of how God is doing it. And even in the days of Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Armstrong understood that the Spirit is the power of God. And it is that comes from God. And it's how God works. And all power comes from God. God controls everything. And the power of God's Spirit is sent out to his prophet. And then it is explained. And it gives you and me the ability to see and understand things that God wants you and me to have. That's how it works. And we can only see what God allows us to see. And we understand that the source of this Holy Spirit, that it comes from God through his servants and then to you and me, his people. And we understand that that source is the Almighty God and that he is the eternal God of this universe that created everything. And that is where this Holy Spirit comes from. And it is, the source is God Almighty. And we understand it's spiritual. And we understand that the revelatory thought that is given to human beings, that it is in our mind that makes us human beings, that gave a human being life that walked upon this earth. And there was only one that ever did this. And that's how we're able to receive of that word. And we know who it was, Jesus Christ. And there's only ever been one and will only ever be one. And God said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. It's an awesome statement when you understand what's being said. And just hopefully you understand this one thing. And it's a wonderful thing to understand the purpose for man, for mankind, and that is to become part of the God family when it's all said and done. And when we look around at this world, how many know this, brother? The world doesn't know this, but you do. Let's go over to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8 in verse 1. It's an awesome thing, the understanding that you have been given. Psalms 8 and verse 1. And let's notice that the word Lord is all capital letters, as we discussed earlier. And it says, Our Lord. Our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens? In verse 3, David wrote, When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, capital letters, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. This remnant church understands what is man, that God is mindful of him. We understand this, and we understand why. And we understand that man is to become members of the God family. And that's God's plan for mankind, for those that choose this way of life, the way of life that God offers. And if they choose that, they are to have a relationship, a family relationship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's going to start to be fulfilled just as soon as Jesus Christ returns to this earth. The kingdom of God will be set up upon this earth. And then the family of God will begin to reign upon this earth with a massive re-education project, brother. So that is what man is. And it is only God's church that fully understands this. When we go back in time, we can see that God revealed himself in different ways to different ones down through time. He revealed a personal relationship to Moses and to the children of Israel. And we know he revealed himself to Noah and how that took place. Had a close relationship with Abraham. And we know what he promised through Abraham. And we saw his purpose in what he was doing. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he never revealed all concerning himself. And that's the way it's been down through time until the end of an age. And all these that have gone before us, God judged them by what they were given. And we understood that Noah did not have anything near what you have at the end of this age when we understand the knowledge that you have. And I hope you understand. The remnant church at the end of an age, the understanding that you would have about God's plan. And you have such much more understanding, I hope you do know that. We know that Noah was faithful to the things that God gave to him to do. We understand by what is given in this book, God's book, about how Noah lived his life. We know the story. And we know that Noah was obedient and faithful to everything that God gave him to do. And Noah did not have near what you have. Neither did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for that matter. They did not have anything near what you have been given. The knowledge and understanding of God's remnant church at the end of an age. The New Testament had not been written in their time. So what did they have in the scheme of things and in the plan of God at that time? It was what God revealed to them in their time upon this earth. And that is what they were accountable for, brother. What God allowed them to see. Just like what He allows you to see. And we have been given so much. Therefore, our name tells it all. The Church of God, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth, brother. That's who you are. And that's what we are doing. We are preparing for that kingdom that is coming to this earth. And that's what is ahead of us. That is what is on the horizon. And there are things, brethren, that were reserved for this time, as we heard in Daniel. The time that you and I live in, the time that we are preparing for the kingdom of God to come to this earth. And there is understanding that would be given through a prophet at the end of an age, just before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, for a reason. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And now, just before God is getting ready to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth as King of Kings, He's going to let us understand and see things even better. And with greater depth of understanding and appreciation of what God is doing. Because God is going to allow us to grow stronger spiritually. Those that want this way of life. Those that will be there at the end. And this is a part of the process of becoming stronger spiritually, so that we can go through the things that are coming, that are ahead of us, with greater strength and greater confidence and greater boldness of spirit to do what we must do at the end of an age. God does nothing by circumstance or by coincidence. It's all planned. And we must be closer to God, because there's a flaw in the human spirit, and it's called pride. And there's many sermons given about this pride. And so we must be deeply convicted with humility and meekness of spirit, so that we will not resist the calling that God has given to you and me. It doesn't take but a moment in time for this mind to change. We've seen it over and over. We've seen it in the past week. But when God does something, He changes us. It's like the potter. If we yield ourselves, and He molds us and He makes what He will, if we will just yield ourselves to the process. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, we find, there is a way that God's Spirit works in our lives, in our minds. And if we are yielding to that, and if we are following Him, He will lead us. And He is the one that puts it in the mind. And that's the way God communicates to us, through the mind. And it is the Spirit of God working in our minds that brings something alive. And that's why when you can read a scripture, when God sends someone to explain that scripture, and you can say, this is what this really meant all the time. And it's an amazing thing to see it happen, to give understanding to the mind. Moreover, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let's notice what is being said. Eat the same spiritual meat. We understand that they were physical, that they were carnal. And when they got to the other side, we know the story of what they did after all they had seen God do. And they did not grasp how that they were able to leave Egypt. They just didn't grasp it. They didn't understand it. And they didn't know what that pictured. Great spiritual meat that God has given to us in His church, the church of God, the remnant church at the end of an age. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, to understand the meaning of things about Pharaoh, things about Egypt, about coming out of Egypt during the days of unleavened bread in the Passover, and what that means to you and me. And as they put that blood on the doorpost, we know that they were passed over. And you and I come to understand when the blood of Christ is part of our lives, that God passes over our sins. And it's an awesome thing to understand. And there was a picture being painted down through time. And the spiritual meat is what they had available to them, that they were partaking of, that they were living through. And they didn't understand it for a reason. But we do. It painted you and me a picture upon whom the end of the age would come. And we understand why it was done the way it was done, to give understanding about God's plan. And we understand it because of God's Spirit and because of God's purpose in our lives and the purpose in the church of God. And when we understand, all did drink the same spiritual drink, but they didn't understand it. They didn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. And they didn't understand what was taking place. And let's notice, and they drank of that spiritual rock. So do we remember what Jesus Christ said to Peter? What He said about Himself, do we know? He told Peter that he was a pebble, and that was his name. And He talked about the rock, Petra, Jesus Christ. And did all drink the spiritual drink? And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Let's notice how it's being said. And that rock was Christ. So we didn't have understanding of this until God sent a prophet at the end of an age to explain what this meant to an end time church. And it was done through that end time prophet. And it is now one of the truths of God that God gave through that prophet. And God gave understanding of certain things, certain other things, like Melchizedek and who Melchizedek was, and a better understanding of what Elohim meant. And until God gave it, we couldn't see it, brethren. How many of you knew it before it was given? Anybody? We can't see things spiritually unless God gives it. We only see it physically because that's what we are. Be turning to Exodus 13. Exodus 13. And when we remember the pillar of fire and the cloud that God sent to lead them, it was God. It was Yahweh that led them through that pillar of fire and the cloud. And the rock, when it speaks of the rock that followed them, we came to understand it was that rock through time that would follow. And we came to understand it was talking about Jesus Christ. That would fulfill what they were experiencing, what was being pictured in their lives, from Passover to coming out of Egypt to the whole process of going through the Red Sea. And it paints us a picture down through time. And it was a plan that God had for His family that was being pictured. God had a plan from the very beginning, brother. And He had a plan for His church and for His children through Jesus Christ that followed that period of time was not by accident that it took place the way it did. And the rock that followed them, those things that were pictured back then, and we understand that it's talking about Jesus Christ. But until God revealed it and clarified it, we didn't understand it fully. The pillar of fire and that cloud, they never followed the Israelites as God was bringing them out. It always led them. It never followed them. And there was only one exception, and that is when it protected the Israelites from the Egyptians. And it moved behind them at that time. But it always led them. And it led them out of Egypt. So let's turn to Exodus 13 and let's look at the account that took place. Verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God had led them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. And he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you will carry up my bones away with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And let's notice, and the Lord, Yahweh, went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. Let's notice, from before the people. So we can see they traveled day and night. And it was the great God of this universe, the self-existing one, that led them. And let's go over to Exodus 14 and let's look at verse 19. Exodus 14 and verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So we can see the event that took place. But we understand that it always led the children of Israel. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel to protect them, brethren. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So we can see that it was always God that was leading his people through the cloud and through the pillar of fire. There is a remnant church that God has revealed certain truths to prepare a people for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at something that God gave at the end of an age to his remnant church through an end time prophet for a purpose. And God gave this at the end of an age to be written for all those in the future so that they will understand what took place at the end of an age, just before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, and the preparation that went into the preparing for this remnant at the end of an age. Acts 2, and we'll start in verse 22. And we'll go through this, and hopefully you have already marked your Bible. It's an awesome thing that was given to be understood by God's people. Acts 2 and verse 22. And we're going to look at where Peter was moved by God's Spirit to speak about some things in the Psalms about David and about God. And they're recorded in the New Testament. And we need to understand what is being said and who is being talked about. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. So it's talking about Jesus, approved of God, capital letters. Approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him, by Jesus Christ, in the midst of you. As you yourselves also know, him, talking about Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken him by wicked hands, have hung him on a pole, crucified, and slain, whom, talking about Jesus Christ, God raised up. He did not raise himself up. God Almighty, El Shaddai, Yahweh, raised him from the dead. And he was dead for 3 days and three nights. And he did not have eternal life living within him. He was dead. And it's an awesome thing that we came to understand. Let's notice. Whom God, Yahweh, the eternal God of this universe, raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, talking about Jesus Christ, should be held of it. Let's hold our place and go over to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And let's take a look. Psalm 16 and verse 9. And let's look at what David said, who was a prophet. And this was recorded a long, long time ago in God's book. Psalm 16 and verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiced. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you, Yahweh, will not leave my soul in Sheol. Neither will you suffer your Holy One, talking about Jesus Christ. We know that's who it's talking about, to see corruption. And now let's go back to Acts chapter 2, in verse 25. For David spoke concerning of him. So David spoke concerning Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of prophecies in the Bible that David, who was a prophet, was inspired to write that are about Jesus Christ, the one who would come in time from the lineage of David, just like we read about in 1 Corinthians 10, one that would follow in time, that rock. I, Jesus Christ, for so Yahweh, always before my face, Jesus Christ's face, for he, Yahweh, is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh should rest in hope, because you, Yahweh, will not leave my soul in Hades or Sheol. And that is what we just read in Psalm 16. And it's what David wrote about Jesus Christ. And this understanding was given at the end of an age to a remnant church about whom God the Father, Yahweh, is, and about who Jesus Christ really is. And it was given through an end-time prophet. It's how you understand these words. And in the Old Testament, it's one word, and in the New Testament, it's another word. And it's a quote out of Psalms about something being said about by Jesus Christ. And when Jesus read these verses, he knew everything that was ever written, everything that was recorded, and it was in his mind and in his being, and he understood it. And he understood, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you, Yahweh, suffer your Holy One, Jesus Christ, to see corruption. He knew what David wrote. And these are prophecies about his body. And when he died, and what would happen? You, Yahweh, have made known to me, Jesus Christ. Just notice what's being said. The ways of life. So he understood. You, Yahweh, shall make me full of joy with your countenance. So it's being made very clear, this is not about David. It's about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and his relationship to his Father, who was Yahweh. Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak to you of the patriarch David. Let's notice that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us until this day. So, this is not about David. It's what it's saying. Therefore, being a prophet, moved and inspired by God, as David was, he was a prophet, and knowing that Yahweh had sworn with an oath to him, to David. That's who the oath was to. And it was made concerning the Messiah. That's what it was about. And it was talking about the one that would come from David in time through his lineage. And it was about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that would come through the lineage of David. That of the fruit of his loins, let's notice, of David's loins, of the fruit of his loins in time according to the flesh, he, Yahweh, God Almighty, would raise Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to sit upon his throne, on David's throne. And that was the promise being made to David, that there would come one in time, the Messiah, who would sit on David's throne, and that he would come from the line or the lineage of David. So that's what it's about. He's seeing this before. David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. We can see understanding being given that was given to a remnant church at the end of an age through an end-time prophet, that this was about the Messiah, Jesus Christ and his Father, who makes it very clear in the Psalms that the words being used that Peter is using here was all about Yahweh. The God spoken of is Yahweh God. Verse 32. Then Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended to the heavens, but he, David, said himself. The Lord, when you go back and look at what the Old Testament says, and it's capital letters, as we said earlier, and it's the word Yahweh, the Lord. Yahweh said unto my David's Lord, the one that would come from the loins of David, the one in time who would be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those prophecies were given to David to be recorded. And he says, you, Yahweh, as it says in the Old Testament, said unto my Lord, David's Lord, sit you at my right hand, Yahweh's right hand, until I, Yahweh, God Almighty, make your Jesus Christ foes, Jesus Christ's footstool. And there are many other scriptures that talk about this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, of whom you have hung on a pole, both Lord and Christ. So it's a powerful to understand what God is doing and who God is and who Jesus Christ is. God Almighty, El Shaddai, Yahweh, and he has had a plan down through time. And that plan has not changed. And it's an awesome thing to understand about the one God. And it was revealed to this remnant church at the end of an age about who God really was. The one God that has always eternally existed. And this is something that our minds cannot comprehend and our minds cannot grasp. I cannot comprehend a being that has always existed, just always been there. God had it written in His book. And He inspired Peter to write in his book, God's book, about the fact that David was dead and that it was talking about Jesus Christ. It was not about David. We know that God had written in this book that David's sepulchre is with us until this very day. So it was about someone that David spoke about under inspiration. He was a prophet of God. And that inspiration came from Yahweh, the great God of this universe. David called Him my Lord. So David was talking about a Messiah that would come, the king that now would come from his loins to set upon his throne, David's throne. It's a wonderful thing to understand. Who else do you think understands this in this world, brother? Who in the scattered groups understand this one thing, these things we're discussing? It's the only way, one way that you know these things. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Brethren, Daniel was inspired to write certain things in his time upon this earth. And Daniel asked God what was the meaning of certain things. And as we read, God told Daniel to shut up the book, to seal it, that it was not for him at his time. It's not for his time. But we know and understand that it was for someone else at another time who God would give understanding to. This book was sealed until the time of the end. And then there was someone to come at the end of an age, just like Daniel, to explain the writings of God. Writings in this book to an end time remnant church to prepare the way for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 we find. And there are many other scriptures, basic scriptures that give us understanding. And they make a clear distinction between the Father and the Son. And when God lets us see more about Him and more about His Son, that's spiritual growth for you and me. And it gives us more understanding. But let's look at 1 Peter verse 10 of chapter 1, of which salvation, let's notice, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. So what is being said is about a prophecy concerning the end time. And it's about you and me when we understand. It's what it's about. It's about the end time, the time that you and I find ourselves in. And it's what is being revealed in our time. And there are 57 truths at this time that have been revealed. And it's an awesome thing to understand what God has given at the end of an age. So much understanding. And when we look back at the worldwide church of God, those of us that were there, we thought we had a lot of understanding. But it's an awesome thing to look back at what has been revealed to this end time church, the remnant church. And it's incredible what has been revealed just before Jesus Christ would return to this earth. So let's notice what's being said. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come unto you. Searching what or what? Let's notice what's being said. What manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. So sometimes we just read through a scripture and we miss the meaning of what is being said. It's about Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's awkward English, the way it's translated. But it was God's Spirit in them about Jesus Christ, better said. That's what it was. And sometimes, like I said, we can just read through and miss the meaning of what is being said. But it was God's Spirit in them about Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful and not read something into this that was never intended. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. It was God's Spirit in them, brethren, about Christ, better said. It's what it was about. And if we're not careful, we can read something that was never intended, as I said. And it is about Jesus Christ. And sometimes when translations are made out of the Greek and out of the Hebrew into English, it takes a prophet of God to explain the real meaning of what is being said. And that's what has took place. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them, God's Spirit, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. There are things in the Psalms and there are things in the Old Testament that talk about one who would come that was going to suffer. And there are prophecies that are quoted in the New Testament, specific things that are quoted about Jesus Christ, the one that would come and suffer. And it's like the rock that we read about in 1 Corinthians. And we came to understand that that rock, it was talking about Jesus Christ that would come in time. So, they had the spiritual water, the spiritual drink, but they didn't get it. And that's the way it is until it's time for God to let something be revealed and be explained. And it's in God's time when He wants it to be revealed. So when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow, there are things that have been talked about throughout time about Jesus Christ from God, of things that would be fulfilled. And they're all about Jesus Christ, God's Son. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, let's notice, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And that's what so many forget to do. And they forget how and where they learn the truth of God by not girding up the loins of their mind. It's a powerful being out here, brethren. If you don't stay close, if you don't gird up the loins of your mind, like the way God says it, bring the mind into subjection. And be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so God has revealed more and more to a remnant church. And the grace that you and I receive of God, what takes place is we grow more and more when God reveals truth. It's what takes place. And then we find something else. Even more is given. When we gird up the loins of our mind, when we be sober, and we stay close to the great God of this universe and His Son, and understand where the truth is really explained. Let's notice what's being said. Something is required. Gird up the loins of your mind. It's required. As obedient children. Just notice how it's being said. Obedient children. You know, you can have unruly children. You can have obedient children, which is a blessing. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as He, it's talking about God Almighty, who has called you as holy. So be you holy in all manner of conduct. Because as it is written, let's notice what's being said, as it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. So let's notice what is being said. It's saying that this has been written. So where do we find it? Where was it written? This is a quote from Leviticus 11 in verse 44. So let's pause here. Let's hold our place. And let's go back quickly and let's take a look at where it was written. Leviticus 11 in verse 44. Let's turn over there quickly. And let's see what is being said and who said it. For I am Yahweh, your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself. You shall be holy, for I am holy. So we can see that it was Yahweh that said this. So let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. I hope you held your place. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, so we can see who this is referring to, God the Father, Yahweh, and because He is holy, He is the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And so many have no fear of the great God of this universe. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, they forget these things. Is silver and gold from your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. Predetermined, brother. That's what it means. Predetermined. Before time. Before the earth ever existed. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And there was a plan from the beginning put in place. And there is no accidents in this plan. God's plan is not changed. It's an awesome thing to understand. This plan was decided a long time ago. And this is what God is going to do. It's written in His book. He has two at the end of an age that would come to prepare the way for His Son to return to this earth. And that has not changed. That is still God's plan. Verse 20. Who verily was foreordained, talking about Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, but was manifest. Let's notice how it's being said. He was not manifest until a specific time in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, Yahweh, that raised Him from the dead. So we know that it was Yahweh, the Father of Jesus Christ, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. We know the order of things, that it is God the Father, and then it is Jesus Christ. We know the order. God is always first, Yahweh. And Yahweh has a plan, and that's in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He works with you and me as human beings so that we can change and grow. And our minds can then become transformed. And then, if we submit to the great God of this universe and His Son, what takes place is we begin to think differently. We begin to understand. Therefore, the battle of your mind takes place that we've heard in earlier sermons. Once you are given God's Spirit, once you are baptized and that Spirit is given, you enter into a war, brethren, a spiritual war. Sometimes we forget that. But I'm telling you, you're in the battle of your life for your life. at the end of this age. And sometimes it's a hard battle. We can see the casualties. I'm sure you know the casualties, some of them. Verse 22. Seeing, let's notice how it's being said. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love of the brethren. That's a hard one. One of the biggest things upon the face of this earth is relationships. Brethren getting along with brethren. Wife with husband. Husband with wife. And it's a fierce battle, just that in itself. And it's only through God who teaches you and me that we can learn how to love one another. It's the only way. And it's through God's plan when it's all said and done. And you've heard me say it before. Once you're called, baptized, and have God's Spirit, you do not have the right to be offended by anything that anyone says to you, brother. You don't have that right because of what it brings. Because of what would occur. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by, better said, the Logos of God. And when we understand God does the calling, and then we're given to the Son to begin a process of being in the body. That's how it works. The church of God, that is the body of Christ. And then we begin to grow spiritually. And it's like a baby in the womb that's been used over and over, and it's a good example. Growing until the time of birth, when we will be changed from mortal to immortal. The Word is God. Everything about it sums up God, what God is. And an awesome thing to understand is how Jesus Christ became flesh to dwell upon this earth. One Son, the one who would be of mankind, of a human birth, who would be God. It's an awesome thing to understand the role of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And you have that understanding. And the way you have it is through an end-time prophet at the end of an age. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. In verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Among you by miracles, wonders, and signs. We read this earlier. A man approved of God. To be who God said he would be. What he would become. Through time. Which God did, or through him, through Jesus Christ, in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Do we see what's being said? God knew it in advance. The foreknowledge of God. You have taken, and by wicked hands have hung him upon a pole. You crucified him and slain him, whom Jesus Christ God raised up. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, Jesus Christ, should be healed of it. Let's go back to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, so we can make sure we understand and make clear what was being said. Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set Yahweh, the Eternal, always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also rests in hope, for you, Yahweh, will not leave my soul in Sheol, in the grave. Neither will you suffer or allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. So let's notice what's being said. you will show me the path of life. We will not turn there, but do we remember what Jesus said? The words that I speak, they are not mine. We remember when that was said. They are the Father's. That's what He said. God is first above all. Everything proceeds from the Father, God Almighty. And that's what it's talking about when it's being spoken about here. Verse 11, "You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So, let's notice what's being said. Pleasures forevermore. And we cannot comprehend this. But there's coming a time in God's plan for those that become a part of the God family. Elohim. And those that become Elohim will inherit all things. All things through and with Jesus Christ. And it should bring you to your knees to understand what you have been given and what you have been offered. Let's go to 1 Peter. Many of these things are said over and over. But we need to understand who the great God of this universe is and who Jesus Christ really is because of where we are in time. And we need to understand what actually took place. And like I said, God sent one at the end of an age to a remnant church, to those that would understand at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. Elect. Let's notice who it's to. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect. God had a plan down through time. Why would He use this word elect? It has great meaning. And it's like we talked about earlier. This took place before time ever began. God had a plan about some who would become part of His family. And it was decided before anything ever existed. And we saw that God had it written down through a prophet in His book, through David, about man and what the purpose of man was, so that we would know, those at the end of an age, the purpose. And we understand that mankind, better said, is to become part of the God family, Elohim. And that is part of God's plan. It's what it's about. It's what God is creating. And it's a wonderful thing to understand. God had it written about those who would be in His family and the purpose for mankind upon this earth, what it's all about. God had it written about those who would be in His family and the purpose for mankind upon this earth to become Elohim. It's talking about you. You and me. And those down through time that have been called and accepted this way of life. And the plan is about how God is going to bring those into His family. That's what it's about. Those that choose this way of life. Verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. So God had a plan of how He was going to work with the called out ones, His church. The different ones He would work with over time. And we know that that is over a period of 6,000 years. And we saw how He's worked differently with those that went before us. We understand about the first of the first fruits. We understand that the first is Jesus Christ. We understand the rest of the first fruits would come at a specific time, at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And so it says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Because He gives us His Spirit. And that's what sets you and me apart from the rest. And what God puts in our mind, because His Spirit is what comes into our mind. And He gives us His Word. And that is what is in our mind, the logos of God, when we understand the Word of God. And we are then set apart, set aside, sanctified by that Word of God. So it's the truth that makes you and me different from all the rest. And that is what is being given to a remnant at the end of an age, who you are and what your purpose is and what you are to prepare for. And the truth of the matter, and that sets you and me apart from all the rest out there because of the knowledge that you are being given. And it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3. Let's notice how it's said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see what this is saying, that God is the Father of Jesus Christ. And this is the Almighty God. And He is the Father. The great God of this universe. The Almighty God. Ever how you want to say it. El Shaddai. Yahweh. The Eternal. That is what is being said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's go over to Ephesians 1 and let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 17. And it's pretty plain when we go back and take a look. But until God revealed it, it was not clear. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So let's notice what's being said. In the knowledge of Him. That's what's being said. So it is God that does it. And it's very plain. God is the one that reveals. And when anything is given, it is God that has to reveal it through His Holy Spirit, through someone sent by God to you and me. And it's done through an end-time prophet when we understand how God works. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. Let's notice how it's said. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And it's how you understand. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? About God's plan, brethren. And about what is about to take place upon this earth. The glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ. We talked about the plan earlier. And that's what it's talking about. God's plan to save you and me. And to bring us into His family. This end-time remnant. Those that will be the first fruits at the return of Jesus Christ. And those that will live on into the millennium. To also become a part of God's family. To become Elohim. So when we understand the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. So that we can be passed over. That's why He came. And we are approaching Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which talks about the Passover and how the ancient Israelites were passed over by putting the blood on the doorpost. And the picture that it paints for you and me. the Church of God. And it's an awesome picture. And that picture is just about complete, brother. There's not many brush strokes left. God has a plan of the only way that it could take place so that we could be passed over. And that is why Jesus Christ came to be what He is. For you and me, and for the whole world when we understand, so that our sins could be forgiven, and eventually the whole world. And so God's plan could come to fruition. A plan which was put in place a long, long time ago. And it is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that you and I understand what we understand. Because He paid that price for you and me. And when we understand God's plan, we ultimately have to become at one with God, the great God of this universe, and His Son. And it's a beautiful picture that the Day of Atonement pictures. Becoming at one with the great God of this universe. Coming in complete agreement. And you can't comprehend that one, and I can't either. But God says it will take place. And He has a plan to bring it about, to become at one with Him. Atonement. It's a beautiful picture, what atonement pictures. Verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So we can see it speaking of Yahweh being the Father. And we should now have no problem understanding that it was Yahweh. It should be clear in your mind. The Father of Jesus Christ, who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead and set Him on His right hand in the heavens. And it was Yahweh that did it, the one God. Verse 21, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, let's notice, but also in that which is to come. In a short while now. It won't be long. And has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things, let's notice, to the church. God gave it. Yahweh gave it, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. So it is from God the Father through Jesus Christ to become part of the body of Christ, the church of God. So let's go to the Psalms, and let's look at what was inspired to be written a long time ago through another prophet, which we read in the Psalms, David. David was a prophet. Let's go to Psalms 110. Let's look at a different psalm. Psalms 110 and verse 1. And let's take a look at what was written through David. Let's look at what God inspired to be written in His book, God's book. The Lord, Yahweh, Psalms 110, verse 1, said unto my Lord, we read Psalm 16 earlier. This is David speaking, and David says He's my Lord. That He was going to be his Lord and his Christ, the Messiah, who would reign over Israel. The Eternal, Yahweh, said unto my Lord, sit you at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So over and over again, brethren, it is written. And it makes it very clear who Yahweh was. God Almighty, El Shaddai, the eternal God, the one God who eternally existed. Let's go back to Psalms 8 and verse 1. Just over a few pages. Psalms 8 and verse 1. Let's go back and reread it. O Eternal, Yahweh, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens? Verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? It's the questions that are being asked. Questions that you know the answer to now. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. So we see Jesus Christ and all things being put under his feet. That's what it's talking about. Let's go to Galatians 1. Galatians 1 and verse 1. And it says, Paul, an apostle, not a man neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So we see it again. Who raised him from the dead. Yahweh did it. Verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's notice what and how it's being said. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So we can see God's plan from the beginning, and it's being accomplished by the great God of this universe, God Almighty. We can see the work of God down through time, through these scriptures that we've read today. And we can see that it is according to the will of our Father, of God our Father, according to the will of our Father. And we know that our plan was put in place a long time ago, brother. And we are looking at the events that could bring it about. God said that there would be a remnant at the end of an age. God also said, would he find faith upon this earth when he returned? They have come, they have gone. They have been offered an awesome plan. We understand that most of the 144,000 are in the grave. We understand that there will be a few alive, says a few, when Jesus Christ returns. When he returns to this earth, they will join him in the air. It's what's written in God's book, to be a part of that 144,000. God understood how it would be at the end of an age. Would he find faith when he sent his son to this earth? There's been many down through time that wanted to know the same questions that Daniel asked. Daniel wanted to know what would take place and what was the end of it all. He wanted to know. God told Daniel to seal this book up until a specific time in God's plan. And you and I are living at this time. We are living at the end of an age. We're living at a time when man can destroy every living thing upon the face of this earth. But God has had mercy upon you and me. In 20 minutes, your life would not be the same. 20 minutes. That's where you're at in time. 20 minutes. Look at your watch and see how long you have. That could be it. But God called you and me out of this world, Satan's world. And he's given us more understanding than any who have ever lived upon the face of this earth. And he's given this knowledge to a remnant at the end of an age. He's given understanding through an end-time prophet. And that's how you know what you know. And I hope you understand what you've been given to understand. I hope you understand. And when we look back at the understanding that Daniel had, Daniel understood a good bit, but Daniel did not understand the end of it all. And Daniel wanted to know. That's why he asked the question. And he will know when he is resurrected in just a little while. And Daniel will have the answers to the questions that he asked the great God of this universe about a specific time in God's plan, and what would take place. He'll have those answers. So when you look at what your understanding is, the understanding that has been given to you, I hope you treat it the way that you should. I hope you understand the awesomeness of what you have been given. To understand the great God of this universe and what His plan is. And to understand who God really is, Yahweh. And to understand the purpose and the role of Jesus Christ upon this earth in the plan of God and what it's all about. To understand that Yahweh was the Father of Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and He had God's Spirit dwelling fully in His mind. We have only been given an earnest, a down payment. A down payment, so to speak, of God's Spirit in our minds. And we cannot comprehend what Jesus Christ had in His mind, the fullness of what He had. Because God was His Father. And there was only one that would ever come and be like Him, like Jesus Christ, to be the Son of the great God of this universe. For that role, so that you and I could be in the plan of God. And He is now sitting at the right hand of God. That's where He's at. And He's awaiting the time to come to this earth. And we're on God's time. To set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. To begin a massive education project upon this earth. So that all can understand what has happened to this earth. And what has happened to mankind. To understand the role of a being that rebelled a long, long time ago against the great God of this universe. And it will be an awesome time upon this earth when this being will be chained and not be able to broadcast to mankind for 1,000 years. To stop the deception that this being has caused down through time. To God's creation, to what God is creating. So, brethren, reflect on what God has revealed to you. It should bring you to your knees what you have been given to understand. Let's finish up with the last scripture. Let's turn over to Matthew 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13 and verse 44. And let's see what Jesus Christ had written. And this is coming from Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and bought it. So we can see what God had written in His book, what it was worth. I guess the question is for those at the end of an age, what do you think it's worth? That's what it boils down to. What is it worth to you?